كرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم أكن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله، السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله، السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين وابن سيد الوصيين، السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين، السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره والوتر الموتور، السلام عليك فأسأل الله الذي أكرمني بمعرفتكم ومعرفة أوليائكم ورزقني البراءة من أعدائكم أن يجعلني معكم في الدنيا والآخرة وأن يثبت لي عندكم قدم صدق في الدنيا والآخرة وأسأله أن يبلغني المقام المحمود لكم عند الله وأن يرزقني طلب ثاركم مع إمام هدى ظاهر ناطق بالحق منكم وأسأل الله بحقكم وبالشأن الذي لكم عنده أن يعطيني بمصابي بكم أفضل ما يعطي مصابا بمصيبته مصيبة ما أعظمها وأعظم رزيتها في الإسلام وفي جميع السماوات والأرض. اللهم اجعلني في مقامي هذا ممن تناله منك صلوات ورحمة ومغفرة. اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد. اللهم إن يوم عاشوراء يوم تبركت به بنو أمية وابن آكلة الأكباد اللعين ابن اللعين على لسانك ولسان نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله في كل موطن وموقف وقف فيه نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم لعن أبا سفيان ومعاوية ويزيد بن معاوية عليهم منك اللعنة أبد الآبدين. ويوم عاشوراء يوم فرحت به آل زياد وآل مروان بقتلهم الحسين صلوات الله عليه. اللهم فضاعف عليهم اللعن منك والعذاب الأليم. اللهم إني أتقرب إليك في هذا اليوم وفي موقفي هذا وأيام حياتي بالبراءة منهم واللعنة عليهم وبالموالاة لنبيك وآل نبيك عليه وعليهم السلام. اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك. اللهم لعن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين وشايعت وبايعت وتابعت على قتله. اللهم لعنهم جميعا. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. اللهم خص أنت أول ظالم باللعن مني وابدأ به أولا ثم لعن الثانية والثالثة والرابع. اللهم لعن يزيد خامسا ولعن عبيد الله بن زياد وابن مرجانة وعمر بن سعد وشمرام وآل أبي سفيان وآل زياد وآل مروان إلى يوم القيامة. اللهم لك الحمد حمد الشاكرين لك على مصابهم، الحمد لله على عظيم رزيتي. اللهم ارزقني شفاعة الحسين يوم الورود، وثبت لي قدم صدق عندك مع الحسين وأصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام. صلوات.
درود بر محمد و آل محمد. دشت میں گونج رہی تھی علی اکبر کی اذان، دشت میں گونج رہی تھی علی اکبر کی اذان، دشت میں گونج رہی تھی علی اکبر کی اذان، لشکر شام نے سمجھی نہ رسالت کی زبان، لشکر شام نے سمجھی نہ رسالت کی زبان، دشت میں گونج رہی تھی علی اکبر کی اذان، دشت میں گونج رہی تھی علی اکبر کی اذان، ایک وعدے پہ تیرے زندہ ہے صغرا اکبر، ایک وعدے پہ تیرے زندہ ہے صغرا اکبر، ورنہ بیمار کہاں ہجر کا زار کہاں، ورنہ بیمار کہاں ہجر کا زار کہاں، دشت میں گونج رہی تھی علی اکبر کی اذان، دشت میں گونج رہی تھی علی اکبر کی اذان، ایک وعدے پہ تیرے زندہ ہے صغرا اکبر، ایک وعدے پہ تیرے زندہ ہے صغرا اکبر، ورنہ بیمار کہاں ہجر کا زار کہاں، دشت میں گونج رہی تھی علی اکبر کی اذان، دشت میں گونج رہی تھی علی اکبر کی اذان، موت کہتی ہے مبارک ہو تمہیں ام ربا، موت کہتی ہے مبارک ہو تمہیں ام ربا، توڑ دی اس غر معصوم نے حرمل کی کما، توڑ دی اس غر معصوم سوم نے حرمل کی کما، دشت میں گونج رہی تھی علی اکبر کی اذان، پھول جنگل میں کھلے پیاس سے مرجھا بھی گئے، پھول جنگل میں کھلے پیاس سے مرجھا بھی گئے، دشت آباد ہوا شہر نبی ہے ویران، دشت میں گونج رہی تھی علی اکبر کی کی اذان دشت میں گونج رہی تھی، علی اکبر کی اذان روزے عاشور زمانے کی نگاہوں نے زہیر، روزے عاشور زمانے کی نگاہوں نے زہیر، رخ شبیر پہ دیکھا ہے جلال یزدان، رخ شبیر پہ دیکھا ہے جلال یزدان، دشت میں گونج رہی تھی علی اکبر کی اذان، لشکر شام نے سمجھی نعرہ رسالت کی زبان، لشکر شام نے سمجھی نعرہ رسالت کی زبان، دشت میں گونج رہی تھی علی اکبر کی اذان، بر محمد و آل محمد صلوات، اللہم صلی علی محمد و آل محمد.
Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much for following all our state guidelines and making our program safe and accessible for our community. From now on, we'll be holding all our weekly programs in the drive-in format following social distancing guidelines. For those who would like to attend from home, we will still be live streaming all our programs on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram live. Please check your weekly email and our social media channels for more details on those sessions. If you would like to be notified in advance of our latest programming, please join our email list by giving your email address to one of the volunteers, and like and follow Al-Wilaya on social media platforms. If you would like to listen to the speech in your car, please tune your radio to 90.5 FM to listen in. As a reminder, all our guests are required to abide by the following guidelines for our drive-in sessions. Please observe 6 feet physical distance and wear a face mask outside your car and at all times. If you would like to leave your car for the speech or latmiya, please stay on the X's marked on the ground. Please don't bring any food items for distribution from home. Package the baruk and drinks will be provided at the center following health guidelines. Do not litter the parking lot. Use the trash bins placed at the entrance. We also have a sanitizing station at the entrance for your convenience. The indoor facility will be limited to bathroom use only on an individual basis. And lastly, please follow all volunteer instructions. Please recite a Surah Fatiha for the Shuhada of Islam, the Mahrumin, named on our memorial plaque, and for all Mahrumin. With that, I would like to invite Hujjat Islam Sheikh Hamza Sadagar to come up and deliver his speech. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our imam, let's recite as-salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. One of the verses that we have in the Holy Quran that is relevant to the context of Muharram, Ashura, and Imam al-Hussein, and we are supposed to make those connections. Imam al-Hussein is the living Quran. And in order to understand Imam al-Hussein, we need to understand the Quran. And in order to understand the Quran, we need to understand Imam al-Hussein. Both of them complement each other in terms of our understanding. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided both of those for our guidance. Hussein is Misbahul Huda, the beacon of guidance. And the Quran is the book of guidance, as many verses suggest. So it's important to make those connections. One of the verses that we have in the Holy Quran that's very much relevant are the last few verses of Surah Al-Fajr. I'm sure many of us have heard connections being made. The verses read, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فَادْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. Although it has been mentioned that these verses are not limited to Imam al-Hussein, he is a prime example of it. It's referring to believers, or rather those who have followed God's guidance. In أَئِمَّةُ الْهُدَى, the leaders of guidance are the ones who have followed God's guidance more than anyone else. And therefore, the prime example of this is Imam al-Hussein. And that point right there tells us that we need to try to move towards becoming what these verses are suggesting. Let me try to go over a brief translation of these verses and then try to make a connection. Surah al-Fajr, in the earlier parts of it, addresses other matters related to the same theme. Every chapter has a theme. Towards the end of the chapter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the disbelievers, the ones who don't follow His instructions, the ones that don't go by His guidance, and what their outcome and result is on the Day of Judgment onwards, which is the day that we enter the real realm, the true realm, the realm which is eternal. And then it discusses those who are great people, good people, believers, followers of Haqq, and the imams of Haqq. And the description of the believers is these few lines, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ. For the person who believes, death is returning to Allah. And the way this is presented is this: instead of saying the person dies, it mentions that the person is addressed, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ, O tranquil soul, ارجعي إلى ربك, return to your Lord. There's a command there. It seems like a person that reaches that point, God commands them to return, and they return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The death is a different form of death. I'm afraid to mention some of the words that have been said about this. The idea is a death by will of the individual. The individual, the person, willing their death by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead of fearing death and others being sent to take that life, the person leaves to their Lord. Because of this command, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ اِرْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّةً. Return to your Lord while you are pleased. رَاضِيَةً, it's the attribute and adjective describing that nafs, the person, the soul. The state of the soul is رَاضِيَةً, they are pleased. The person is pleased in what way? In every way possible. In any aspect possible. It's not that they're pleased at one thing, displeased at another.
all aspects of life by this person who is an-nafs al-mutma'inna, the nafs, the soul, the self, which is tranquil, as some of the translations go. This person sees everything, all aspects of life, within and without, internally and externally, everything to be a manifestation of Allah. And why wouldn't he be pleased? Radiyatan. Mardiyatan. Mardiya means the person is pleased with. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully pleased with this individual, with this person, with this soul. There's no aspect of their behavior, their qualities, their personality, their character, their thoughts, their beliefs, every aspect of it, the person, that self, that nafs, the soul is entirely mardiyya. There's nothing of that individual that God is not pleased with. فَادْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي, and enter into my servants. فَادْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي, and enter my garden, my paradise. Doesn't say enter al-jannah. It doesn't say enter with the ibad. فَادْخُلِي عِبَادِي, enter into my slaves, my servants. وَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي, enter my garden, my paradise. All of Jannah is God's. But when God says, my Jannah, it adds, because it's adding the connection to Allah specifically. And it makes it evident and apparent to us that this is a part of paradise, a rank in paradise that is closest to the divine, closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are descriptions, as we said, for believers that acquire the at least minimum rank of taqwa. Uzlifatil jannatu lil muttaqin. A person who has acquired and accomplished the rank of taqwa, which is in every aspect of their life, being careful to be in line with divine teachings. If there's something that is wajib, they make sure they implement it. If there's something forbidden, they make sure they avoid it. If it's something that's recommended, they are encouraged, and therefore, because of God encouraging them, sometimes they do it. They don't always do it, because God didn't make it an obligation. If He made it an obligation, they would have to do it all the time. If it's a recommendation, they do it sometimes because God likes that to be done sometimes, not always. And if it's a discouragement because He didn't forbid it, they sometimes do it, but they sometimes also avoid it because God said, I don't want this to be done all the time. So they're careful. This is what taqwa means. They're careful. A person who is able to maintain that status throughout their life, we make our way towards it, inshallah. We all have our deficiencies, our issues, our problems, our shortcomings in trying to implement this. We move towards it, which means we're constantly looking at our shortcomings, seeing where we fall short, and looking at how we can improve, and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help, asking Him to forgive, telling Him that we want to make that move, we want to acquire that station, we want to get closer to Him. Anyone with that quality enters the realm of an-nafs al-mutma'inna. Itma'inan, we translate it as tranquility. Tranquility may come across to most of us as an internal state of peace, which does come as a result of what we're about to explain of what itma'inan is, al-mutma'inna, as ulama have explained based on
the evidence they have. This is their research I'm presenting. Atla Khushbakht, may Allah bless his soul, he used to explain it in this way. That itma'inan is actually the stability of a person on the path of taqwa and ubudiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person that one day is on, the other day is off, they're unstable in terms of being on the siratul mustaqim, on the path, they don't have itma'inan, they're shaking, they're shaky. When you remove that and they're stable, that's called itma'inan. And therefore, a person who is able to maintain that state of care, being careful, every time they want to do something, they want to leave something out, they're constantly conscious of their responsibility towards the Lord, of their relationship with Allah, and that I am an abd of Allah. What does He want me to do? Is there anything that He currently wants me to do? And I do that, and if there's something that I plan on doing or I think of doing or the thought comes to me to do, I think, is that something that He wants me to do? Is that something that He wants me to think of? And if it's not, I avoid that. If I'm able to maintain this process, I never fail to do that. It's not like I do something, then I think, wait a second, was this okay? Was this not okay? Or I'm just going about my business. After a time, I realize, wait a second, prayer time came in and ended. I didn't even do my prayer. Like, okay, I'll just do it some other time. That means I'm not careful. I'm not conscious on a regular basis, consistently in regards to my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and my responsibilities towards Him. If we do have that consistency, that's called itma'inan. That's stability on the path. Otherwise, one day, a few days, we're trying to be on that path, we're trying to obey Allah, we're trying to do as He says. A couple days, we have shortcomings, we make mistakes, we put down our guards, we are not careful. This is a basic and brief explanation and translation of those verses of the Quran that obviously in this very basic understanding of them, they provide instructions for us and also give us an understanding of what a standard, at least, the standard that we can try to evaluate ourselves with in terms of being where we need to be. It helps us with that, which is great help. Obviously, the height of and the level of the Ahlul Bayt is much higher than this basic level. They have, obviously, that is very little, very minimal compared to where they are. When we look at the Ahlul Bayt, we see, as much as we can see, of course, of them, the greatest examples where if we reach that bottom step, that basic level, the lowest level that we can accomplish, we're still looking at the Ahlul Bayt and they're still guiding us to move above and beyond and not to limit ourselves at that. But at least from someone like me, looking at where I need to accomplish, I can say the first step, the first benchmark that I need to reach is this. And this is great help for us. The relevance of these verses to Imam al-Husayn in Karbala and Ashura are somewhat, I think, hidden once you understand that basic understanding of it, in that that basic understanding refers to any individual that has reached the lowest level possible to enter paradise as a result of their own actions, without any assistance, without any extra assistance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our language, because everything is based on Allah's assistance. But in a sense, if a person has acquired the rank of taqwa, they can enter paradise. If we understand that this is what these verses are describing, and this is the basic understanding of it, now relating it to Imam al-Husayn may be a little more difficult.
previously, maybe we thought we just heard this is about Imam al-Hussein, and as soon as we heard it, we made that connection. But now we realize there's got to be more to it for it to be relevant on a higher level to Imam al-Hussein in Karbala, in Ashura. It's not a basic believer. The ashab of Imam al-Hussein were not that bottom rank, the basic rank. They were at a much higher level. At a much higher level. The ashab. Okay. We can't comprehend where Imam al-Hussein is. The ashab of Hussein. And I'm not referring to Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. The ashab of Hussein. The Zuhairs. Muslim ibn Awsaja. Habib ibn Madahir. These are not ordinary believers. They're not the basic level. يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ اِرْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً. Much less the companions closer to Imam al-Hussein, similar or like Abbas, سَلَامُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ, like Zainab, سَلَامُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهَا. And then Imam al-Hussein, which we cannot really, one of the, inshallah, we get to understand who the Ahlul Bayt are. Salamullah alayhim ajma'in. What is the connection? How can we relate this to Imam al-Hussein, to Karbala, to the companions of Imam al-Hussein on a higher level? What is there for us to see and understand here? One of the aspects, perhaps, that the connection of this verse to Karbala clearly makes it evident to us that this is not the basic level understanding or the basic level of taqwa that we're talking about, is that if a person has itmi'nan, they have stability on the path generally, there's still room for them to have minor errors. Again, it's gradational. We've used this word many times. Even stability has got different grades. The basic level is your basic level wajib and haram. For some of those that were around Imam al-Hussein's time, they lived at that time, ulama have said this, perhaps some of those who were in Kufa, some of those who were elsewhere, they even came to hear something about Karbala, about Imam al-Hussein. They may not have committed a sin by not going. Your basic sins, okay, because even these words are, they have different degrees, they have different grades. I hope I'm not speaking in a way that starts sounding like, what the heck is this guy talking about? I hope it's making sense. I apologize. I don't want to say it's a more complex topic. I would say I'm less capable of presenting this. I'm trying my best to present it in an understandable, meaningful way. Recite a salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Ali Muhammad, ajjal farajahum. Even the word sin is gradational. There's different levels of sin. The sin of Adam, we say, the Quran says, the disobedience, it's disobedience. Disobedience of Adam, our forefather who was a prophet, is not the type of disobedience that we are involved in as normal individuals, normal, just regular, ordinary people, people who have not seen what Adam saw, people who have not heard what Adam heard, people who have not heard God speaking to them directly. That's what Adam had. Something that's considered a sin for Adam is above our level. That's not our form. It's not like we're told, don't do this, and then we do it. They're the same level. These are... Or when Yunus, salamullah alayhi, this great servant of Allah, this great prophet,
When he made the error that the Quran mentions a few times, وَلَا تَكُنْ كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ, God tells the Prophet, don't be like the companion of the fish, Yunus. It's a negative context that he is being mentioned. Despite that, the error of Yunus is not the same as ours. The same word is used, but it's gradational. There's different levels of it. Stability on the path, getting back to what we were discussing, stability on the path is gradational. On what level? Stable on what level of Sirat al-Mustaqim? Ali ibn Abi Talib is Sirat al-Mustaqim. Even if I obey every single wajib command and I avoid every single haram, am I at the level of Ali ibn Abi Talib or even near that or even near some of those who got close to Amir al-Mu'mineen? Of course not. These are different levels of Sirat al-Mustaqim. It's gradational. There's different levels of it. The basic level, again, is to consist of the basic wajibat and muharramat that are there in the Sharia for all to abide by. You need to go by them. But then there's more to it. This Sharia is complex. Islam, that is a religion that God sent to mankind from the Prophet's time to the Day of Judgment, which is a set of instructions for the Prophet and the 12th Imam and all the Ma'sumin and all of their followers. It must have the complexities to allow for people that are way down bottom like me to be able to follow that religion, and people who are way up there follow it. Each of them reaches their level. It must have these complexities. If it didn't, if it was flat, if it was the same for all, it couldn't be the religion, the sharia, the path that would have the capacity to guide all on these different levels. Let's try to explore a little some of the data we have about Ashura, about Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayh. Before I get to that, I want to clarify something here, in that I don't want to confuse people in what we're about to say here. On a superficial level, what the Imam did and what the companions did was a wajib act. The basic wajib is there. So every person was supposed to understand that and take those steps, join that movement, and do that basic wajib requirement. Okay. Although those who didn't understand the wajib, they didn't understand the application to them, and God knows who they are, we don't know who understood, who didn't understand. Anyone who didn't realize this obligation and they weren't at fault for it, they're not held accountable. Their level of understanding, their command from Allah did not include that, and therefore they're not going to be held accountable for something that they didn't understand is an obligation on them, if they weren't at fault for that. Anyone who realized or could have realized and they had the means to realize and it was their obligation to realize and they didn't, they're going to be at fault for not doing the basic wajib that was there. But brothers and sisters, the point is, Karbala and Imam al-Husayn and Ashura is not the basic wajib in haram. It could have been done in a basic way. Others have done similar things, but on a basic level. The impact of their work was basic as well. The impact of Imam al-Husayn's work, the impact of Ashura, the impact of Karbala, the impact of the companions of Imam al-Husayn is extra, extraordinary. It's not normal. So what they did is not the basic Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar. If I understand there is a taghut, I need to stand against him. Okay. That's the basic order. This is the message on that front. But when you look at Karbala, you realize they didn't do it on that level. That's why the impact, or perhaps part of why the impact of Karbala is above average. Haven't you heard of good people taking similar steps? They have. They've been massacred as well. It's not the first or last time in history that something like that has happened. None of them have had the effect of Karbala. This tells us, this is a clear sign that there's something extra that they did, that God chose this to have the impact that it had. And then once you understand some of those complexities, what happened there, what Imam al-Hussein did, what the Ashab did, you start realizing that this was not your ordinary Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi al Munkar. Then you start seeing that Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah. This level of itma'inan, stability on the path, on that level, yeah, that's something that this is an extraordinary example of. Again, the Imam is above where we could even see. Perhaps the Ashab, if we are able to see, they're not ordinary instances of this verse. They're much above the ordinary. Try to look yourself and try to find this with this understanding. If this made sense, try to revisit what your understanding of Karbala is. Find clues of what seems to be basic, what seems to be above average. One of the things that seems to me, think of it yourself and see if this makes sense to you, or perhaps you have reason to believe it's inaccurate and incorrect. One of the things that I have seen that seems to me to be one of those above average things that not Imam al-Hussein, again, I can't understand. When I see the Ashab of Imam al-Hussein being where I can't understand, then I realize that, okay, Hussein is... He led them, he taught them, he brought them. And so he must be, God knows where, above our imagination. One of them is on the night of Ashura. The night of Ashura. It's commonly said that Imam al-Hussein told his companions, leave. I lift my bay'ah from you. I think I mentioned this one of the nights of the first Ashura. I hope I don't create a confusion between what we're saying tonight and what we said then. Whoever remembers that, I'll try to clarify the difference. Let me say this. That night we said that the Ashab understood what the Imam said. He didn't mean that it's not your basic wajib to stay. He was saying something above that. They understood what he meant and they stayed. This has to do with the above average. This has to do with about above average. Imam al-Hussein salamullah alayhi told his companions, the bay'ah is lifted from you. Leave. They want me. What did the Ashab say? The Ashab said, no, we're going to stay. We're staying with you. You're choosing to stay. You don't abandon this field. You have chosen that if they cut me into pieces, I will not pledge allegiance to Yazid. You expect us to leave? If that was the right thing to do, you would have left. You would have agreed to pledge allegiance. You would have agreed to leave whatever it is that's causing them to want to kill you. Just like Abdullah ibn Abbas, just like the others, the ones who during the lifetime of Muawiyah had not pledged allegiance. When it came to them, it's like, okay, we have to, we have no choice, whatever. They didn't agree with it, but they ended up doing. If it was right, if it was good, if it was okay, Imam al-Hussein, salamullah alayhi, it seems to me again, that on that night is trying to elevate the status of his companions on this night, this last night that they have on earth, beyond the ordinary. Whatever it's been, yes, they've made all those right choices up to this point. Now they have to make another choice that is going to elevate them for those who choose to stay. And that's going to lead to him showing them something as a result of what they did that increased their iman. They ascended to the arsh, the throne of God. Allah knows that the word is the best way I can describe that. I really don't know if that's an accurate description, how elevated they became. We have trouble understanding these things. When Imam al-Hussein gave them the choice of leaving on that night, saying that I lift my bay'ah, you came here, you did a bay'ah with me to stay with me and to protect and to fight where I say, I lift that. I take that from you. You're no longer responsible. And I encourage you, it's nighttime. No one's going to see. If you're ashamed of me, I'll turn down, I'll dim the lights. Make that choice. Leave. Again, he's also making it clear that the better choice is to stay. Why? Because he's staying. That's something they need to understand. This was part of the process. Understanding that guidance. He's presenting it. You leave. One of the issues with the bay'ah was a cultural issue that some may have had, and they may have been there because they made that pledge and it was wrong for them. They didn't feel like it was right for them to leave after making that pledge. What's keeping them? The pledge. They feel that it's bad to make that pledge. Are you there for Allah? Do you want to be marziyya? That's not where their headspace is. Their headspace is where? Bay'ah. I gave my bay'ah, now I can't go against it. That's one of the issues. One of the problems. That a person can ascend beyond that, and they should ascend beyond that. But there's something more to it than just that. Perhaps, even from a shari'i perspective, the basic wajib of staying with the imam, perhaps the imam was telling them that you did your share in standing against this zalim. You did it. Your basic wajib, you already made clear. Now, as a basic wajib, you don't have to stay. Leave. Are you going to make the choice of living in this world, or are you going to choose to meet your Lord in blood? Which one are you going to choose? Basic wajib, it's not wajib. Perhaps, I'm not saying this 100%, it's difficult to speak. This is what I believe, of course, but I'm putting it out as a possibility. Basic wajib, you don't have to stay, leave. If you leave at this point, since I allowed you to go, I'm the imam, right? It's up to me. I told you leave. If the imam said that, then if a person leaves, would God tell him, why'd you leave? No, because the imam told me, that's why I left. I mean, the imam told me I can leave. He gave me the choice. I left because he gave. He didn't say, if you go now, you're going to go to hell. He said, you can leave. The allowance, the permission was given. But with that permission, obviously between or before you are two choices. One choice is to be a basic believer and live longer. I like to live in this world. If it's allowed for me, I'll continue to live here.
If it's up to me and I'm not going to go to hell for it, I like to spend a few more years here. I like to spend some time with my family. I like to go back to my town. I like to do this. I like to do that. If it's allowed for me. If I'm going to go to hell, no, I'll stay. I'm not willing to do that. But if I'm not going to go, I like to. That's a choice. They could have done that. Perhaps some, there's a difference of opinion if anybody left or not. Some left. If anyone did, according to this, if this is what the Imam told them, then they're not committing a sin. The Imam told them, you've been here, you did your taqib, I'm telling you, leave. The other option is, the grandson of the Prophet is saying, I'm going to stay. I want to meet my Lord in blood. I want my beard, my white beard, to be colored in red. Why? I have special orders. It's not the ordinary command. It's special orders from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's told me, I need to do this. An ordinary person, when they're doing amru al-ma'ruf wa nahi al-munkar, perhaps at that level, their understanding would be that, okay, we did our amru al-ma'ruf wa nahi al-munkar, it just doesn't make sense for us to continue anymore. Basic level amru al-ma'ruf wa nahi al-munkar. Hussein's level of amru al-ma'ruf wa nahi al-munkar is different. Special orders, not the basic one. Imam al-Hussein is giving this opportunity to his companions as part of guidance. It's a test that God is giving them to elevate them. By saying, leave me, that means I'm staying. I'm not going to leave. You can leave. You're allowed to leave. Which one are you going to choose? Live a few more years here? Or since you understand the grandson of the Prophet, the one that you have recognized as an imam of guidance, the representative of God, is saying, I'm going to stay. You realize that's the better choice. There's something more. God likes that. To choose to die in that way. You choose. They chose their death based on this. If this is an accurate understanding of that night, they chose their death. Based on what? They realized, although it's not wajib, since the Imam told them they don't have to stay. It's not wajib for them to stay. But since he told them he's staying, they realize God likes that better than living a few years longer. I won't go to hell, but I won't be with Hussein. Which one are you going to choose? Now, stability on the path, siratul mustaqim, on this level is a lot more difficult. It's not even wajib anymore. It's not even something that if I choose the other, I'll go to hell. I'll still see Hussein in paradise. I just won't be right by him in paradise. I'll still be with the Prophet, but I won't be right by him. I'll still be one of the ibad of Allah. فَادْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. But not on a level where the other verses of the Quran, there's another chapter, Surah Al-Waqi'ah, gives us an understanding. This is وَكُنْتُمْ أَزْوَاجًا ثَلَاثًا. You are three groups. The word أزواج doesn't always refer to spouses. أزواج sometimes means groups. You are three categories, three groups. The last one, it says وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ, and then it starts describing that third category first. فَأَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون في جنات النعيم ثلة من الأولين وقليل من الآخرين
There are Ashabul Yameen, good people, people of the right side. And then Ashabul Shimal, people of the left side, good people, bad people. And then the third group are As-Sabiqoon, the ones who excelled. They're good people too, but God separates them. There's good Ashabul Yameen, there's bad Ashabul Shimal. Then there's As-Sabiqoon, As-Sabiqoon. He doesn't put them with Ashabul Yameen. He doesn't put them in, he doesn't equate them. He doesn't categorize them in the same category. There's three. The bad people he doesn't categorize. Ashab al-Shimal, all of them one. They're nothing special. They're all Ashab al-Shimal. You don't need to spend time categorizing them. Ashab al-Yameen, good people. Then As-Sabiqoon, As-Sabiqoon, Ula'ika al-Muqarrabun. They are the ones who are closer. You have a choice. You can be Ashab al-Yameen, you can be Muqarrabun. Now, and then the other thing, what's the other choice? Why would you, when you think of it that way, you're like, obvious, you know, I want to be of the Sabiqoon. Yeah, true. But that's when we're sitting here. We just had our food, our dinner, or we're going to have dinner, and everything is nice, and we're thinking in our heads that choice, beautiful, it's really nice. But not when you have 34,000 people armed, everyone saying you're wrong. Everyone saying you're wrong. Even good people are saying you're wrong. Besides the swords, the psychological pressure on you because everyone is saying you're wrong is much more difficult. Then on the other hand, perhaps some of these people, their family members, the men were there alone. I don't know who had this problem, but they're thinking of their families as well. Some of them, of course, cut that off. Zuhayr ibn Qin, when the imam told him to go, he was in his tent. His wife told him to go and see the grandson of the Prophet. Then when he went, he came back. He was smiling. He divorced his wife. He said, thank you very much for all this time. I'm going. You know where I'm going. I'm going towards death. I don't have any family left behind. That connection, he severed that connection. I don't want to say that's the right thing to do or what. I don't know his conditions. Imam al-Husayn came with his family. His wife, perhaps he was giving her the choice if she wants to come on her own. That's her choice. She chose not to, of course, in the end. Because she could have said, okay, you divorce me, fine. But I'm going to go with Hussein. I don't care about you. I'm not here because of you. I'm not just your tail just tagging along wherever you go. I see Hussein and I want to go with Hussein. She could have done that. She didn't. But his choice was, he didn't say, okay, you go, inshallah, I'll come. He cut that. But some of them may not have done that. For us, we may go on a taklif, a responsibility. Now we're given this choice, all that love, all those memories, all those things that keep us here. We think, of course, in our illusion, as the reality is far from this. The way we think of it, the way we see it, like I want to choose my spouse. I want to take care of my children. I want to do this. I want to do that. And then thinking of the pain, come on, you know, this is very serious. Community leaders have chosen because of the fear, because it's not because of authorities, it's not because of the laws of the land. These are not excuses. The law of the land says you're allowed to do this. Islam says you must do it. Community leaders have chosen not to hold Muharram programs. What for? A fear of death. Fear of death. Can I choose? Yeah, you want to be of the Muqarrabin? The choice is Hussein is saying it's not going to be wajib for you. You've done your share. I lift that. Now you're free to go. If you go, you're not going to go to hell for this choice. You're not disobeying Allah's ordinary commands. Now, you want to choose? We have a hadith that may help us understand this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the hadith, has made jihad in the way of Allah. It says the hadith, the Arabic of it is this: Al jihad babun fatahahu Allah li khassati awliya'ih. Jihad, the struggle in the way of Allah, which has got different grades, and the highest grade is what happened in Karbala. This is something that God, it's a door, it's a gate to Him. Who does He open it for? فَتَحَهُ اللَّهُ لِخَاصَّةِ أَوْلِيَةِ He opens it for, it's a locked door. You can't just, it's an honor to be of the mujahidun fi sabilillah. Says He opens it for خَاصَّةِ أَوْلِيَةِ The special ones. Okay. Imam al-Hussein wants to give them, they made that choice, brothers and sisters. They made a choice above the ordinary wajib to stay. And then Imam al-Hussein increased their faith after choosing this. He showed them, you've heard, they say, of course, in a way that may sound a little, I'm not sure how it sounds to different people, especially in the context that we're in and all the imaginations that are going wild. You see, between his fingers, he showed them their place in paradise. And what generally is understood of this is that somehow, for some reason, just Imam al-Hussein decided to show them that. These are not as basic as we perceive them to be. They're not basic. To know their place in paradise is to know their place with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The knowledge of that is a step towards getting to that position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why it's part of the guidance. It's not like, okay, you made the choice, now here's paradise. No, that's when you get to paradise. This is part of their progress towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who gets to see before they die where their position is with Allah in paradise? Who gets to see that? Seeing it. Not being told that a person is in paradise. We have that as well. Sometimes a person, we have some of the companions of Imam al-Sadiq, salamullah alayhi, they were told, or others were told, that this person is one of the servants of God in paradise. That's different than showing the person where they are in paradise. Showing them. This is part of getting them there. It's beyond our imagination. I'm saying these words. I have no idea. I'm just trying to figure out what these words mean. But what do they really mean? What is the reality of that? I'm walking in the dark. I have no idea. I'm just trying to make sense of the words. That's all. Only a person who's seen that can tell us what that actually is. So of course, and if these are the ashab of Imam al-Hussein, what on earth or above earth was the test of Hussein? There is test there for Imam al-Hussein, but there's no way the likes of me or anyone other than the Ma'sumin can understand the test of Hussein, that on that level he had the stability on the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not make the slightest mistake and error in making the choice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. And therefore, رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّةً We said Imam al-Hussein is someone that from all aspects is مَرْضِيَّةً. The word مَرْضِيَّةً is gradational too. The shuhada of Karbala were also مَرْضِيَّةً. They were pleased with. But on the level of Hussein, no. Because his level of stability on the path was on a level we can't even fathom what the test was. We're having trouble here fathoming and understanding and comprehending, getting our heads around what the ashab of Hussein had to deal with on the night of Ashura. On the night of Ashura, not in the battlefield. There's something in it for us too. I'll end. I apologize for taking long. I hope that Imam al-Hussein is pleased and he forgives the shortcomings on my part. Brothers and sisters, if we want to be with Hussein, salamullah alayhi, I don't know how, just based on the understanding we have of which presented to us about Karbala, we come to the understanding that Allah will give us choices beyond the ordinary wajib and haram. What are those choices? I don't know. But He guides. He shows. He clarifies. He makes it crystal clear for you. If you want Him to be pleased with you, if you want Hussein to be pleased with you, you have to make this choice. It's clear to you. Maybe for others it's not clear. But God gave you that clarity. Once you have that clarity, you will have that choice. And the more difficult choice at that point is going to choose, especially since it's not wajib or haram, it's beyond that. It's going to be difficult to choose the choice, the option that is going to be getting one to Hussein. How do we prepare for such a scenario? I honestly can't think of anything except tawassul to Hussein, salamullah alayh. Tawassul to Hussein. Beg Imam al-Hussein. He is the beacon of guidance. He is the ark of salvation. Not just on the basic level, getting you out of hell. If one is to ascend on that to that level, Hussein has got to take their hand. Tawassul to Imam al-Hussein. Tawassul to the Ahlul Bayt. Begging them, Ya Abu Abdullah, I don't want anything except for you. I was listening to some of the Noha, some of the, I don't know, maybe it's just me, at least in the Farsi language, which is what I listen to most, obviously. We don't have too many English Nohas. And I'm not as fluent in other languages. In Farsi, some of the more recent lyrics or Nohas, the meanings are very deep. And I think that is also a guidance for Imam al-Hussein. Some of them keep repeating this line. One way or another, do you want anything but Hussein himself? Anything whatsoever. Jannah, whatever. Anything but Hussein. I don't want anything. And of course, Hussein is wajhullah. When you say this, you mean other than Allah, I don't want anything. Not that Hussein is Allah. Hussein is wajhullah. Okay. There's no conflict between those two ideas. And if anybody thinks there is, they haven't understood either of those words. If anybody thinks there's a conflict between them, don't say this to Hussein. If you realize what is being said here, you realize, and that's why we have in Ziyarat Jama'a Kabira and other Ziyarat as well, مَنْ أَطَاعَكُمْ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ مَنْ أَحَبَّكُمْ فَقَدْ أَحَبَّ اللَّهِ Whoever obeys you has obeyed Allah. Whoever disobeys you has disobeyed Allah. Whoever loves you loves Allah. Why? Because they're wajhu Allah. They're the face of Allah. You love them, you love Allah. Say this to Imam al-Hussein, Ya Abu Abdullah, I don't want anything. Take everything away from me. I want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. I'm not here for any other reason. If a person really, they understand what that means, and in their heart they give all of that, I want Hussein only. I want Hussein only. And beg Imam al-Hussein to give them that. That's the only thing that comes to my mind. I don't know. I don't even know. I just know that tawassul is the key. Generally, and this is one of the areas where it applies to us. Inshallah, Imam al-Hussein, take our hand. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. Sallallahu alayka ya Mazlum. Ayyuha al-Shahid bi Karbala. Shana May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Imam al-Husayn. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved oppressed Imam, the Imam was slaughtered by the shores of the Euphrates while his mouth was dry of thirst. Ya Hussein, Ya Mawla, we're all here. I think we all want you, Ya Hussein, nothing but you. We want you to take us to yourself. Ruhi fidaka, Ya Mawla. Hussein knew he was leaving his daughters, his sisters, his wives behind to face the difficulties that they were to face. But he saw Allah wants them to be captives. Hussein said, if Allah wants them, then so be it. Hussein knew his little three-year-old will be taken from city to city. This little one who loved her father so much, remembered her father so much. She's only 3 years or 4 years of age. Obviously, she will be remembering and repeating her father's name in different ways. Hussein knew the response that she's going to get. When Imam al-Hussein's head visited his daughter in the ruins of Sham, perhaps not only the face of Imam al-Hussein was bleeding, maybe Ruqayya's face was also bleeding. So while she said to Imam al-Hussein, "Oh father, why is your beard red? Why are your lips bleeding?" Imam al-Hussein also said to her, "My daughter, why are your feet so blistered? Why are your hands so bruised? Why is your face reminiscent of my mother, Fatima al-Zahra?" Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. يا حسين.
Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. Pukarungi main baba ko bhala mare tamache tu. Pukarungi main baba ko bhala mare tamache tu. Pukarungi main baba ko bhala mare tamache tu. Pukarungi main baba ko, pukarungi main baba ko بھلا مارے تماچے تو چاہتا ہے میں نہ روؤں مجھے بابا ملا دے تو پکاروں گی میں بابا کو بھلا مارے تماچے تو پکاروں گی میں بابا کو بھلا مارے تماچے تو رکے گی نہ میری آہیں ہیں جب تک بھی میری سانسیں رکیں گی نہ میری آہیں ہیں جب تک بھی میری سانسیں میں چیخوں گی چلاؤں گی میں چیخوں گی چلاؤں گی بھلا جو بھی سزا دے تو چاہتا ہے میں نہ روؤں مجھے بابا ملا دے تو پکاروں گی میں بابا کو بھلا مارے تماچے تو پکاروں گی میں بابا کو بھلا مارے تماچے تو اگر چاہتا ہے زندہ میں خاموشی ہو تو یہ سن لے اگر چاہتا ہے زندہ میں خاموشی ہو تو یہ سن لے میں ہو جاؤں گی چپ لیکن میں ہو جاؤں گی چپ لیکن ہاں سر بابا کا لا دے تو چاہتا ہے میں نہ روؤں مجھے بابا ملا دے تو پکاروں گی میں بابا کو بھلا مارے پکارے تو میں بابا کی بتاتا ہے بھلا مارے تماچے تو پکاروں گی بھلا مارے میں اپنا سر پٹکتی ہوں تڑپتی ہوں سسکتی ہوں میں اپنا سر پٹکتی ہوں تڑپتی ہوں سسکتی ہوں رکے گانا میرا رونا رکے گانا میرا رونا ستم لاکھ اٹھا دے تو چاہتا ہے میں نہ روؤں مجھے بابا ملا دے تو پکاروں گی میں بابا کو بھلا مارے تماچے تو پکاروں گی میں بابا کو بھلا مارے پکاروں گی میں بابا کو بھلا مارے اندھیرا ہی اندھیرا ہے رکے گا نا میرا ماتم اندھیرا ہی اندھیرا ہے رکے گا نا میرا ماتم بھلا چاہے یہ زندہ کو بھلا چاہے یہ زندہ کو قبر میری بنا دے تو چاہتا ہے میں نہ روؤں مجھے بابا ملا دے تو پکاروں گی میں بابا کو بھلا مارے تماچے تو پکاروں گی میں بابا کو بھلا مارے تماچے تو عباس تیرا حق ہے زمانہ تجھے روئے جب شام و سحر فاطمہ زہرا تجھے روئے عباس تیرا حق ہے زمانہ تجھے روئے عباس تیرا حق ہے زمانہ تجھے روئے جب شام و سحر فاطمہ زہرا تجھے روئے عباس تیرا حق ہے زمانہ تجھے روئے عباس تیرا حق ہے زمانہ تجھے روئے درالی پہرے پہ ستمگار کھڑا ہے درالی پہرے پہ ستمگار کھڑا ہے، کیسے تیرے لاشے پہ سکینہ تجھے روئے، کیسے تیرے لاشے پہ سکینہ تجھے روئے، عباس تیرا حق ہے زمانہ تجھے روئے، عباس تیرا حق ہے، جس وقت اٹھایا نہ گیا لاش جوان کا، جس وقت اٹھایا نہ گیا لاش جوان کا، شہ اس گھڑی اکبر سے زیادہ تجھے روئے، شہ اس گھڑی اکبر سے زیادہ تجھے روئے، عباس تیرا حق ہے زمانہ تجھے روئے، عباس تیرا حق ہے زمانہ تجھے روئے، زینب نے کہا شاہ میں غریباں میں غازی، زینب نے کہا شاہ میں غریباں میں غازی، بے پردہ مجھے دیکھ کے بابا تجھے روئے، بے پردہ مجھے دیکھ کے بابا تجھے روئے، عباس تیرا حق ہے زمانہ تجھے روئے، عباس تیرا حق ہے، اے عباس تیرا حق ہے زمانہ تجھے روئے، سجدے کے لیے جب لیا ہاتھوں کا سہارا، سجدے کے لیے جب لیا ہاتھوں کا سہارا، تو سجاد مصلے پہ ہمیشہ تجھے روئے، تو سجاد ہمیشہ تجھے ملے تجھے روئے، عباس تیرا حق ہے زمانہ تجھے روئے، عباس تیرا حق ہے، اے عباس تیرا حق ہے زمانہ، مشگیزہ کہیں جسم کہیں ہاتھ کہیں ہے، مشگیزہ کہیں جسم کہیں ہاتھ کہیں ہے، جا جا کے کہاں فاطمہ زہرا تجھے روئے، جا جا کے کہاں فاطمہ زہرا تجھے روئے، عباس تیرا حق ہے زمانہ تجھے روئے، عباس تیرا حق ہے زمانہ تجھے روئے، ارمان سکینہ کا تھا جتنا تجھے روتی، ارمان سکینہ کا تھا جتنا تجھے روتی، سجاد تیری قبر پہ اتنا تجھے روئے، کہ جب شام و سحر فاطمہ زہرا تجھے روئے، عباس تیرا حق ہے زمانہ تجھے روئے، عباس تیرا حق ہے زمانہ تجھے روئے، عباس تیرا حق ہے زمانہ، وہ عابد بیمار تھا، وہ عابد بیمار تھا، چلنے سے جو لاچار تھا، چلنے سے جو لاچار تھا، اور شام کا بازار تھا، اور شام کا بازار تھا، اور مصطفیٰ کی بیٹیاں مولا حق امام حسن یا حسین مولا حق امام یا حسن حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین شبیر کی وہ لاڈلی شبیر کی شبیر کی وہ لاڈلی شبیر کی وہ لاڈلی ہائے سینے پہ جو شاہ کے پلی سینے پہ جو شاہ کے پلی جس کی ابا ہرن میں جلی جس کی ابا حسین منہ بھر تماچوں کے نشان مولا حق امام حسن یا حسین مولا حق امام حسن یا حسین حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین
صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا خير خلق الله ويا خاتم النبيين وصفوة المرسلين صلى الله عليك يا أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب وصي رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين صلى الله عليك يا أبا محمد يا حسن ابن علي أيها المجتبى صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين صلى الله عليك يا غريب الغرباء ويا معين الضعفاء والفقراء السلطان أبا الحسن يا علي بن موسى أيها الرضا المرتضى صلى الله عليك وعلى آبائك وأبنائك جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته صلى الله عليك يا مولاي يا بقية الله يا حجة الله عجل الله تعالى فرجك وسهل الله تعالى مخرجك وظهورك وجعلنا من خير أعوانك وأنصارك والمستشهدين بين يديك صلى الله عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.